Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Wommen, a teaching ministry emphasizing God's unconditional love and grace. This special live teaching on the Believer's Authority was recorded at our 2009 Atlanta Gospel Truth Seminar and is being broadcast exclusively for our radio listeners. And now, here's Andrew.
The slickest deception that Satan has ever put forth is to get the church to embrace the law and say, oh, thank you, God, for showing us what we must do. And they're preaching it, unless you do this and this and this, God won't bless you. No, the purpose of the law is to show you if you are trying to earn God's favor, then here's the standard. It's not some lower standard. See, today, basically, they've reduced the standard to such a low level that anybody can do it. Everybody's going to be accepted by God. That's not true. God wants to accept us by mercy. He doesn't want to give you what you deserve. He's willing to just give you relationship with Him as a free gift. But if you think that you earn it because you haven't been as bad as somebody else, you're the very person that'll miss the things of God, because God's not going to deal with any of us based on our performance. So if you think that you deserve it, God says, all right, let me show you what righteousness is. And He gives step 1 through 10,000. Of everything that you should be doing. And it's not just the ceremonial law that passed away. This says the law written and engraven in stones, the Ten Commandments, is a ministration of death. If you use it for that purpose, it's okay. You know, I'm really wanting to go past this, but I know that I've got some of y'all's hackles raised and you're sitting there rejecting what I'm saying. And until I get you on the same page, I don't feel like I can go on. I am not against the law. If you use it for the purpose, the law isn't given to make you righteous. It's not given to give you relationship with God. It's not your way to God. The law is given to show you you can't make it. Humble yourself and receive it as a gift. Let me tell you this story that'll illustrate what I'm talking about. It's like the guy who went to heaven, and Peter met him at the gate. And Peter said, so what makes you righteous? And he said, oh, I've been living a good life. And the guy said, oh, so you've lived good enough that to get into heaven? And he said, well, certainly. And so he says, all right, I got a quiz here. All you got to do is make 100 points. And the guy says, no problem. He says, man, I've lived a good life. I can make 100 points. And so Peter asked him, he says, all right, did you go to church? He says, I never missed church. I had perfect attendance. And he says, that's half a point. And then he says, were you faithful to your wife? And he says, I never cheated on my wife. I was absolutely faithful. He says, that's 1 point. And then he starts, well, did you tithe? Yes. That's a half a point. And after, I mean, 5 or 6 things, he had 2 or 3 points. And he says, my God, if this is the way you're grading me, I'll never get in unless it's by the grace of God. And he says, bingo. Welcome. Come on in. That's what the law was given to do, is to say that, you know what, God, if this is what you demand, I can't make it but by your grace. And he says, bingo, amen, that's it. That's what the law is to do. The law is given to drive you away from self-righteousness, to show you that you can't make it. None of us deserve the things of God. If we got what we deserved, every one of us would go to hell.
That's right.
You cannot stand before God based on your own acceptance. So the law, if you use it for that purpose, is good. I was holding a meeting in Houston, Texas one time, and it was in a hotel like this, and it was about 200-300 people, and there was a guy that came in and stood at the back for a while, and then he sat down, and I was preaching, and he just stood up during the meeting and started yelling at me and saying something, and he was either drunk or high on dope or something, and he wasn't coherent, and I couldn't really answer him. And so finally I just got put out and I said, sit down and shut up in Jesus' name. And this guy just plopped right down. And I went ahead with the service, and then after the service was over, he came down front and I started talking to him. And I told him about the love of God. And I said, God loves you and God wants to change your life. And whatever it is that's bothering you, whatever you're high on, God is better than that and God can set you free. And I ministered goodness and grace to the guy. And this guy turned around and he says, I don't need that. He says, I am God. He says, I am God. And he started into this junk. And you know what? I extended mercy to the guy. But when he says, I am God, and thought that he didn't need God, that's what the law is made for. It says over in 1 Timothy chapter 1 that the law isn't made for a righteous man. It's made for the lawless and disobedient. When you get born again, you become righteous. The law isn't for a Christian. The law is for a non-Christian to show them their need and to drive them to God and get them out of self-righteousness. So you know what I did? I took the law like a club and I beat this guy with it. I said, "You sorry thing, you stink in the nostrils of God. How dare you say that you're God?" And I just begin to show him all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There is none righteous, no, not one. All of your righteousness is like filthy rags. And I just beat this guy to a pulp. And I mean, within minutes, he was sitting there crying, "Oh, God, have mercy on me." That's the purpose of the law. If you want to use the law like that to show a person how rotten they are and how sorry they are, that's the purpose of the law. But to use the law to try and get a person to fulfill it and earn their way to God is totally missing what God intended the law to do. And this is what religion has done, is substitute the law for Christ. The law is the stepping stone to most people's relationship with God. And if they keep it as good as they can, then that God will accept them. The only thing wrong with that, nobody can keep it. All of you in here who think that you're living a holy life, if you were to come up here, I guarantee you I could keep pushing your buttons and saying things until I get you mad at me and we would show that you aren't perfect. Some of you are already there. Some of you are already mad at me and I've already proven that you aren't perfect, amen. Well, I'm not perfect, but... And then you start grading on a curve. The Bible says in James chapter 2, it says, if you keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, you become guilty of all. It doesn't matter if you live holier than I do. Who wants to be the best sinner that ever went to hell? All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You need a Savior. And if you are into deception thinking, well, I'm pretty good, then the law is made for you to show you how sorry you are so that you quit trusting in yourself and turn to God. So in that sense, the law was a ministration of death. It was written and engraven in stones. This isn't talking about the ceremonial law. It's talking about the Ten Commandments. It's talking about the law was given for a lost man, and it's an Old Testament way of relating to God. It is a ministration of death. In the New Testament, Jesus came to give us life, and life more abundantly. He didn't come to bring us death. The law is contrary to the new covenant relationship that Jesus purchased for us. So I say all of that based on verse 7. For if the ministration of death, written and engraven in stones, was glorious, so that the children of Israel could not steadfastly behold the face of Moses for the glory of his countenance, which glory was to be done away. When was it to be done away? Like in the New Jerusalem at the end of this world? No, the book of Hebrews, many other places, it's done away. Matter of fact, Hebrews chapter 7 says that it is disannulled. The word annul means to cancel. The word disannul in the Greek, it's literally like to super cancel, to totally cancel, to abolish. It's a superlative that doesn't even really need to be stated. It is disannulled. It's obliterated. It's done away with. And that which is old is ready to vanish away. Man, there's just so many scriptures on this. In verse 8, how shall not the ministration of the Spirit be rather glorious? For if the ministration of condemnation, again, talking about the Old Testament law. Remember in Romans chapter 8, verse 1, there is therefore now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Condemnation isn't the ministry to the New Testament believer, but the law, it is ministration of condemnation. If you feel condemned, and the word condemned is a kind of a religious word that some people lose, but here's what it means. Like in the United States, if a building is just derelict, is what they call it in England, if it's unable to be inhabited, if it's unsafe, you condemn it. That means it's unfit for use. If you feel unfit for use, if you feel that God can do miracles, but you don't have the confidence that He'll do it through you, you're condemned. And if you're condemned, it's because you're under the law. You are still relating to God based on your personal relationship and not based on what Jesus did. Thank you for both of those amens. For if the ministration of condemnation be glory, talking about the Old Testament, much more doth the ministration of righteousness exceed in glory. For even that which was made glorious, talking about the Old Testament, had no glory in this respect or in comparison, by reason of the glory that excelleth. For if that which is done away, See, here it puts it in the past tense. It's already done away. The Old Testament law is done away. If that was glorious, much more that which remaineth is glorious. And seeing then that we have such hope, we use great plainness of speech, and not as Moses, which put a veil over his face. This is talking about that when Moses was up on the mountain in the presence of God for 40 days, when he came down, his face was actually shining. He had been in the presence of God, and his face was radiating the glory of God, and it scared the people. They couldn't look at him because the glory of God was on him. So Moses had to put a veil over his face. And when he was talking to the people, he wore a veil. When he went into God, he took it off. And so there was a veil that was between the glory of God that was on Moses and the people because they couldn't stand to see the glory of God. So this is what he's referring to. He says in verse 13, "And not as Moses, which put a veil over his face, that the children of Israel could not steadfastly look to the end of that which is abolished." Notice that he's talking about that which is abolished. He's talking about the Old Testament law. "But their minds were blinded, for until this day remaineth the same veil untaken away in the reading of the Old Testament, which veil is done away in Christ." Let me just cut to the chase. And what this is saying is that as long as you are still under the Old Testament mindset and trying to relate to God based on your performance, on your goodness, then there is a veil, a darkness, a blindness that keeps you from understanding God. You can't see through a veil clearly. But you remove the veil and all of a sudden things come crystal clear. If you get out from under the law, you will begin to understand God and relate to Him in a way that you've never related before. Now there's still tremendous benefit in the Old Testament law if you understand it in the light of the New Testament, but most people don't, and because of this our minds are blinded to what God has done for us through the religious concepts that have been taught us in the body of Christ. Those are strong statements, but they're absolutely true.
The Believer's Authority is available for the very first time in book form and can be ordered through bookstores nationwide. Or you can receive a copy when you send a gift of any amount for the work of this ministry. Request book R327 when you write or call or when you go to our website. A Spanish version is also available. This teaching series was recorded at our 2009 Atlanta Gospel Truth Seminar. It's available in a 5-part album on CD or DVD for a gift of any amount. Ask for CD series RM234 or DVD series R3205 when you make a donation to Andrew Womack Ministries. The fifth CD in this album is also available for a donation of any amount. However, for those who are not able to give, Andrew and his partners will provide this single teaching free of charge. All you need to do is request the fifth teaching when you write or call, and we'll be pleased to send it to you. Our address is P.O. Box 3333, Colorado Springs 80934. Our helpline number is 719-635-1111, and our web address is awmi.net. We hope to hear from you today.
I believe that the truths I'm sharing could transform lives all around the world, and I'm doing everything I can to get this word out. We reach over 200 million homes worldwide, but you know what? There's still millions of homes to go. And if you haven't yet become a partner with our Gospel Truth broadcast, I'd like to ask you to pray about it and then become a monthly partner with us. There are people all of the time who receive benefit from this. They are blessed. They listen, watch on a daily basis, and yet they've never given beyond just the materials that they give. I'd like to ask you to help us reach out beyond just your need and reach other people. Please call or write today.